Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 3,921 grants, totaling $5.9 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, all your favorite podcast apps. As always, endurance lives here. Our next guest is a high school senior, cancer survivor, baloney amputee, and an amazing athlete. His name is Tyler Jones. Tyler, how you doing, bud?
I'm great. How are you?
I am spectacular. So, Ty, you grew up in Nashville?
Actually, me and my family are from Memphis,
okay,
Tennessee, but we moved here like 3 or 4 years ago.
So tell me a little bit, growing up, when were you diagnosed with cancer, and how long after that did you end up losing your leg?
So I actually was misdiagnosed first
at really?
The age of 2 to a benign tumor, and then after biopsy and 2 weeks pretty much later, it grew like twice the size, and they found out it was cancer, so we continued treatment without knowing what type of cancer. I was a patient at St. Jude in Memphis for my entire time of being a cancer patient. And so through my treatment, after many rounds of chemo, nothing was really working, so we had to amputate my leg, which the amputation was right before I turned 3 years old. So it was a long time ago.
And do you remember much of that, being so young?
So, you know, I don't really remember a bunch of the, like, appointments. Like, every appointment, I don't remember, like, all that stuff. But I really remember, like, key moments, I feel like, that have, like, shaped the person I am. Like, I remember the amazing people that was there for me when I was at St. Jude. Like, I had this great little friend group at St. Jude who were also cancer patients, and I remember doing chemo. First time we did chemo was at my house, and we were in a chair, and they were like, get comfortable because it's going to be bad. And it was just me and my mom, and I started throwing up so much everywhere, and my mom was freaking out, and she called my dad, he's a police officer, and as soon as, like, he got so scared, he turned on his sirens and drove all the way home and drove me all the way to the hospital. It was crazy, but it's just, like, things like that I remember. I feel like when you go through something traumatic, it doesn't matter what age you are, if it leaves, like, personal scar on you, then
sure,
you remember.
Well, and at that point, you're so young, you're not really an athlete yet. You're sort of playing around. So it's not like you were an athlete and then all of a sudden you lost something. What you were dealing with, you really have dealt with since you were a little boy, since you were at your amputation at 3 years old. How was it to try to play sports with the other kids with, you know, basically a walking leg, which I'm assuming is what you had?
So, yeah, like, first leg I ever got was, like, this 5-pound leg, and I only weighed, like, 40 pounds. So,
My God, you had a brick.
Yeah, really. And so first sport I fell in love with was baseball. Like, my dad played baseball in high school, and he was, like, this great athlete, and I was like, oh, man, I just want to be just like him. And so I started playing t-ball, and I remember I would hit the ball, and then, like, everyone would kind of just, you know, stand until I get to the base. Like,
they weren't trying to get you out.
But yeah, exactly.
They were basically, it was a little charity. It was like, hey, let's let this kid get to base.
Yeah, and that made me mad.
Yeah, like, I'm sure it did. But it's such a tough thing for the other folks too, because they're going, okay, we could throw this kid out easy, but we want to be nice, right? So people are trying to be nice, but at the same time, you're looking for a little reality.
Yes, sir. Yeah, exactly.
So how long was it before you were able to feel like, okay, I think I can have success at this as an athlete, even though I'm missing my leg?
I'd say it took a while.
Like, yeah.
I was in and out of my prosthetist office all the time. We didn't have, like, a great setup, and I was always hurting. I had so it was like, for me, like, being active was like a chore almost at first, because I didn't I knew being active, I had to stay active to be healthy, but it always resulted in me having to be on crutches for like a week, because it was so bad on my leg and stuff. But when I got to middle school,
yeah,
we switched prosthetists, we moved, and I finally got someone who kind of, not to say that they didn't, my last prosthetist didn't know what he was doing, but like, I got someone who was more knowledgeable in the active side of being an amputee. So it was a lot easier. And I feel like as soon as I got to be able to run and actually like run, I was hooked on being just the best I could possibly be in being an athlete.
People forget that the majority, I think, of prosthetists deal with folks who are dealing with diabetes, and they're dealing with folks who just want to get from, you know, the living room to a different part of the house with a leg. A lot of the guys aren't really used to working with athletes and with people who want to run. And that's a totally different mindset for the prosthetist and for the athlete. And the collaboration between you and that prosthetist is key, right? To so they understand your body and understand how to build something that works for you.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's whim is different, so it's always a challenge. And I'm so grateful to the process I have now, and he's a great guy.
So then all of a sudden, world opens up, right? Because now you've got a leg that works. And what sports did you get into?
I literally played everything I could get my hands on. Like, I played baseball, played football, I played soccer for just a hot second. Baseball was the first sport that I really focused on. I did wrestling. I wrestled all through high school. So
yeah, second in state. Wait, you were second in the state, right? JV wrestling.
Yeah, my freshman year. Yeah, I was wrestling 106, and it was crazy because I always think of Anthony Robles because
he's such
a monster.
Yeah,
and so like me wrestling at 106, everyone was so little, but like, not having that weight from my leg,
right?
It was like
they thought you had an advantage, right? You had one leg, so they couldn't do a double leg takedown on you.
Yeah, exactly. People were like, "Oh, it's an advantage," but like, there's still challenges with that.
Well, the balance—you're balancing on one leg.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, a lot of times people would just like try to bulldoze me because I'm on my knees. And oh man, it's crazy.
Wow. That's wild. So then, second in state in JV wrestling, and then you're getting into running. And what were your sports in terms of track and field, the events in track and field?
Well, so I started tracking. Well, the first time I ever did track was at Edmond, Oklahoma.
The Endeavor Games.
Yeah, the Endeavor Games. So, and I was young. I was like 10. And I still had my walking leg at that time. And so I ran in at Edmond. I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this. I was like, this is terrible. And then so I took a break from track for a long time. And then my freshman year,
yeah,
like I had played all these sports and stuff, and I felt like I was really athletic. And I was like, you know what, let's just go back to Oklahoma and see how I do. And we went back, and I did really, really well, and I ended up after that meet, I was reached out by the IWAS team about potentially being a person to go to Ireland. And then so I was like, oh my gosh, I could actually do this.
Well, not just that, you go to Ireland 2018, 3 bronze medals.
Yes, sir. In the 100, the 200, and discus.
Good for you, man. And now, was this with a running leg?
Yes, I did have a blade.
Cool. Now, when did Challenge Athletes Foundation come into your life?
Challenge Athletes Foundation came into my life right after Edmond, because we had, so I was about 12-ish, mm-hmm. and I was just about to start middle school, and I was living in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was going to the same process as Richard Brown.
Oh, I was just with Richard Brown.
No way.
Yeah, I was down in Arizona and ran in. I was with Rudy Garcia Tolson, and we ran in the Richard Brown at a Starbucks in Phoenix, in Tempe.
Oh,
yeah. I just had him on the radio show about a month ago.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to the same process as him, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you're doing – like, this is when he just first started.
Wait, like, was this after he broke the world record?
No, this wasn't even that. It wasn't even then yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because so that's young. He did that in London when he I think he got the silver in London, and then he broke the world record.
Yeah, so he just – so I was watching him, and I was, like, seeing his, like, come up, and I was like, oh, man, I want to be – able to run like that. And so we got connected, Challenge Athletes, and I got my first blade, which was like a flex foot.
Yeah, it was your flex foot. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
And is that what you took to Ireland?
No, I actually took, so that was when I was really young. So as soon as I got my flex foot,
yeah,
is when I started playing sports. Like, I started doing everything. But then I took Ryan. Wait, what's his last name? Ryan was my prosthetist in Nashville,
uh-huh.
And so he had an old blade. It was literally like a prototype blade, and he put it on a foot. And because I didn't have a sprinting leg, because I already used my grant that year to go for travel.
Oh, gotcha.
So he was like, well, I have a backup. Like, I have literally this old prototype. Well, yeah, and I outgrew my other blade. So he just threw it on a leg, and I went to Ireland, and I ended up doing all that. And then this past year, I put in a grant to get a cheetah.
Oh, very cool. Cool. And then you got into rock climbing as well?
Yeah, so, oh, man, that's a crazy story. I was at Tri-State in New Jersey.
Yep.
And it was the first meet of the year, and I've been training all year long. And so I was doing long jump, and then I felt my leg just hurt so bad. But I was like, oh, I probably just landed on it wrong. I go and finish the rest of the whole weekend, and then I didn't do very well, and I was so upset. And then when I got home, my leg was still hurting. I was like, Mom, something's wrong. And we go to my doctor, and I fractured my fibula. So,
oh, my God.
I had been training so hard, and I was like, my goals were to go to Pair Pan Am Games,
mm-hmm.
and make the Tokyo team and go to Switzerland for the Junior Worlds. And I was literally talking to all the coaches. I was going to be on those teams. And then I fractured my fibula, and I couldn't. And so I was so upset. And then my prosthetist, Ronnie Dixon.
Yes.
Well,
he's a rock climber, big-time rock climber. Yep.
Yeah, and he was like, well, since you can't run track, we got to find you something to do and stay active. So that's how I got into rock climbing.
That is funny. Now, your mom met somebody You've got a business and your little clothing line. What are you up to?
Yeah, so staying busy for sure.
And you're what? Are you what? 17?
I just turned 18.
18.
Not that
okay.
Long ago.
You're doing a lot of stuff, my man.
Yes, sir. I'm a. We started a little clothing business called the Drifted Drum Company, and my mom wrote a book.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been pretty wild lately.
What does the company do?
So basically we make shirts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea behind the Drifted drum is like Drifted being like washed up, or like you feel like you have nothing left or anything, and drum as being like a renewal, like you can re-put stuff in a drum, like you can fill it up with something else once you use it all. And so like me at the time, like my mindset was like, I just trained and I just did all these things, and I had a future and my goals were set, and then I got hurt and I felt like it was all for nothing, and I was upset. And but then I was able to put effort in somewhere else and still be able to succeed and be happy.
So do you think, 18, was the plan before you fractured your fibula, was a thought, hey, there's an outside chance I can get to Tokyo and Paralympics?
Yeah, like that was such a big striving goal that I had.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was, every day I was waking up and I had this, I literally had, like, for months, my wallpaper on my phone was the standings in the world for, like, my classification.
And what was your standing? Where'd you rank?
Well, I was only ranked 28 or something.
Yep.
So I was way down there, but I hadn't run that whole year, and I knew I had gotten faster. So I was ranked, like, 28 with, like, a 13-13, I think. But at school, I ran track for my school too, and I had ran a 12.3 that year.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're.
I was,
yeah,
like, yeah.
And you know, 12.3 would be ranking you probably what, top 15?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And that's in the world. That's not in the U.S. So maybe you're top 10 in the U.S. at that point.
Yeah, for sure.
And if
so
you're,
I
you're,
was really.
Yeah, if you rank top 10, then you never know what happens when you go to the trials in Minneapolis. So, at the end of the day, this. Yeah, obviously nobody wants the Paralympics or Olympics to move a year, but the fact that it moves a year, that could end up being a positive for you.
Oh, for sure, especially since I'm about to be on, like, a whole nother level of training. Like, because I'm about to start college.
Where are you going to go?
I'm going to actually be able to run track at MTSU, which is Middle Tennessee State University.
Are you going on a track scholarship?
Well, yeah. So I've been talking to the coach, and he worked with a Paralympic athlete before, a blind athlete, and he's like, "I want to take on an amputee." And so,
very cool. Well, we saw that, actually. It's funny. A couple of years ago, we had Hunter Woodhull on the show, and he wasn't getting any scholarship offers. And then after he ran in the meet in New York, a high school meet in New York, next thing you know, New York Times wrote an article about this kid ranked number 5 in the country in a quarter without any college offers. And he ended up going down to, he's down at Arkansas with a full ride athletic scholarship for track and field, which he was the first amputee to get that.
Yeah, that's insane.
I know. And now you're looking at a scholarship as well.
Yes, sir.
That is the coolest thing. I had no idea you got yourself a college scholarship for track and field. That's so cool.
I'm extremely excited. And I know that that's just going to be able to take me to a level that I wouldn't be able to get there myself.
That, no question about it. Plus, so as a kid who grew up with this, I'm sure other parents, other families have reached out to you. What do you see as your role in that when families reach out? Because the fact that you're out there, the fact that you're getting a college scholarship, it makes you a role model for a lot of these young kids who don't know what their life is going to be.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, a lot of people see me right now and see the end or the highlights of everything that's happened. So, not... And especially for those who parents or kids who have gotten diagnosed with cancer or things like that, like, they understand the hardships that I had to have gone through to get to this point. And So a lot of people, you know, look at the bright side of and just see the highlights, but there was a lot of struggle and throughout, and there's a lot of times where I was just like, I was upset, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do track, or if I don't know if I want to keep doing this when I just wasted. I mean, I didn't waste it, but like I felt as if I trained for so long, and then the first meet of the year, I get injured and I can't do anything. So
well, the hard part is you have one, you know, you're running on one leg, one able-bodied leg, so that you potentially can injure that leg.
Yeah, for sure.
So talk a little bit about, you know, it's funny because the world now is dealing with the coronavirus and the people being stuck at home and not being able to exercise. And you know, I'm assuming that for someone like yourself, think, welcome to my world. I went through a lot of that where I wasn't able to get out and exercise, and I couldn't pursue my dream of going to the Paralympics. And now the rest of the world is having to understand about perseverance and patience and some of the traits that obviously you've exhibited. What are your thoughts when you see with what the rest of the world is going through right now?
I mean, it's very upsetting for a lot of people because this, especially when I look at my fellow classmates and stuff,
yeah,
like a ton of them are just crushed because we're missing. We don't have a prom anymore. We don't have a graduation anymore. We don't have senior prank. We don't have, you know, all the
track and field. You didn't get to have your senior season.
Yeah. So track and field. The spring season canceled.
Gone.
Baseball,
yeah.
Canceled. Everything. So for a lot of people, it's really devastating, and especially for those who, you know, was really trying to push for being a collegiate athlete and they didn't get any scholarship. Well, now it's over. They don't have that chance anymore.
Right. Right.
So it is really tough, but for me, I just see it differently, like, than a bunch of people do right now. I feel like I've always had a different perspective of what my priorities and goals are. So like, it kind of sucks that my senior year is over, but I know that there's bigger things that I've been pushing for a long time, and I'm finally going to be able to get to that next step and that next chapter of life.
I love that. It's going to be really fun for you to be able to go off to college. Now, obviously, with college looming, how's your train? Are you able to get out and train at all?
Yeah, so I'm training still every day. I go to a CrossFit gym, and I'm able to rent out equipment if I need to. I have a weight set downstairs. I have a treadmill. I have outside I run. So I'm still training as hard as I possibly can with the circumstances at hand.
I love it. Hey, Tyler, and then last year you received our Sam Day Award at San Diego Triathlon Challenge 2019 at our Celebration of Abilities dinner. That was a pretty cool moment.
Oh yeah, that was honestly like a turning point in a bunch of my emotions. I was like, when I was able to receive that award, that's the year that I was hurt. That's the year I didn't get to do a lot of stuff. And I was like, I was not giving up, but I was very disheartened about a bunch of things that were happening. And so being able to receive like, oh, the star athlete of the year, I was like, yeah, I'm still an athlete. Yes, I'm going to go through injuries or whatever it might be, and I'm going to come out on top because I'm still an athlete.
Yes, you are, and you're an amazing athlete. I love that. Hey, Tyler, it's so cool to have you part of Challenge Athletes Foundation. You really represent us well, and I appreciate that.
I'm so thankful to be a part of all of that. Like, you guys have always been to like a family to us, and being able, like, every year I look forward to SDTC. I mean, it's a big thing for me, and I love, and oh yeah, and I went to the Para Tri Camp
that's right,
and that was insane.
That was, actually, you were really good. What do you think about triathlon?
Oh, man. I'm definitely a sprinter for a reason.
That's a long day, right? When you do you swim, bike, and run.
I know. And in Tennessee, there's like nowhere to swim.
Right.
So
yeah.
The swim was the worst. Like, as soon as they said go, I was out there and I was first in the swimming. Like, and I come around the first buoy and everyone starts passing me. And I was like, what is going on?
Because you were a sprinter. You sprinted to the first buoy, not realizing there was five more.
Exactly.
That is great. Hey, Tyler, thanks so much for taking time. Really a pleasure to get to learn more about you over the phone. And keep training, man. Hopefully this 2021 Paralympics will happen and you'll be in Tokyo and get to hear our anthem.
Yes, sir.
Be great. Tyler Jones has been our guest again. We're brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 3,921 grants totaling $5.9 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game alive through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, all your favorite podcast apps. As always, endurance lives here.